Okay, before I get into this, I don't know if you can call it guest interloper. What do I asked him to do this shit, so I guess he wouldn't be an interloper. Hey, Quentin. So the Buddy system is the entire network for our podcast, and we decided, I mean, at this point, this is an entirely separate podcast from the ACMM, my little comedy journal. So, I talked with George and Will, and we're setting up this new podcast. We're calling it the People of Comedy or People of Comedy. We're going to be changing up the questions, so it's not going to be these generic ass questions. Even Quentin was like, most people are going to have the same answer for like, why did you start comedy? Super generic. But we're hitting up different people. George is going to be hitting up people. Will's going to be hitting up people, and you're going to be it's going to be a separate podcast. So if you want to check this one out and then the ones following, we should be still doing these every single Friday. We also have Night Guy and Baldy, Game Boys, the Buddy Cast, ACMM, A to Z. I think that's all of them. I think that's all of them. Yeah. So just know there's going to have a different icon and it's just going to be a separate podcast from the ACMM. All that being said, Quentin, I want to say I met him in San Diego. At not Ace's Comedy Club, but the other place that I believe Rocky Osborne had. And I think he was doing like a roast or something. I just remember him being like a charming, funny dude and just likable. Just likable in general. And I saw him last time I saw him before the world collapsed was in LA at like a I don't know, Mike show thing. I don't know what it was, but it was really good to see him. And I don't know. I just thought of him. He's just, I don't really have anything bad. Not to say I was looking for bad things to say. This is becoming a terrible intro. You know what? I'm gonna shut the fuck up and let Quentin speak for himself. So this is Quentin Ashton. Oh, fuck me. There we go.
Back in the day, we used to take the girl to the malt shop. And nowadays, kids are just eating butt. I remember the good old days. You didn't used to have to spread cheeks and put your face in them to get somebody's attention, but these kids, ass fiends.
Yo, this is Quentin recording for Aaron Chase's podcast. You can catch me on Instagram at Quentin Comedy. On YouTube as Quentin Comedian. Before I recorded this, I was listening to some of the other episodes. I listened to Will's podcast, and that was passionate. Will should give inspirational speeches at kids' soccer games, which is orange slices in one hand and his manifesto in the other hand. It was just hope y'all like kicking a ball at this level because most of y'all will not do it at the next. Aaron gave me a couple like talking points, like things that he wants to touch on. The first one of them was why did you get into comedy? Which is, I feel like most people do have the same answer for that. Like as a kid, like I only watched stand-up comedy and cartoons. I saw like every Mad TV. I remember I used to write jokes and just wait to like run them by my friends at school the next day. Like, oh, I'm gonna kill them at the lunch table. I used to like it used to keep me up at night, like just thinking of like tightening up words and like trimming the fat in like a joke and like how to say it. But for sure, it made life harder. Like, I moved to LA after college, and I ended up doing construction, which is not what I went to college for at all, right? Like, so I graduated, and I was like, okay, cool. So I have a degree now. So as soon as I move somewhere else, I'm gonna be able to get whatever kind of work that I want. It for sure didn't happen. I landed in LA, applied. Got no jobs. So I went to a place that did like manual labor and I pretty much just lied. like the lady was like, "Hey, do you have steel toe boots?" I was like, "Absolutely, I got a couple pair right now." And I for sure didn't. Like, I'm not in construction in my life. Why would I have steel toe boots? I had I also like she asked me if I had ever driven a forklift. Like, I distinctly remember being like her looking into my soul and be like, "You've driven a forklift, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, for sure. I drive forklifts all the time. Like, if there's a forklift in the parking lot, I'm gonna try to drive it most likely." I feel like she knew it was lying. Like, I was pouring it on pretty heavy. She for sure knew. What was wild though is the next morning they called me up, right? And they were like, "Hey, the dude that we did hire, he quit after 2 hours because it was like, it was too much." And I was like, "All right, cool, I'll be in there." And they're like, "All right, bring your steel toe boots." I was like, "All right." So I got up and I just went to JC Penney and bought a pair of a pair of like knockoff Timberlands. And I just busted it, and dude, it was awful. This is the hardest work I've ever done in my life. A lot of appreciation for construction workers. What was Aaron talking about? He's talking about inspiration. I feel like I got pretty standard inspirations. The Carlins, the Pryors, the Chappelles, the Burnhams. There were some other things that weren't like comedy based that I just thought was like really dope and stuck with me as a kid. Like, I remember Outkast, their sound, but also like the look. Like, there was one music video where Andre 3000 was just wearing shoulder pads. Like, I was like, why is he doing this? But like 30 seconds in, you get that it's like, oh, this is just how he gets just himself out. Like, that's how he gets his personality out. And it wasn't like a gimmicky thing. I was like, that's pretty dope. Like, I like that about comedy, of like saying some weird stuff, and it's like, maybe I could work on this for people to get it. Like, they just don't get it right now. But as soon as you like, trim it up and make it nice and presentable, no matter how weird it is, the people are gonna get where you're coming from. So I really like that aspect of comedy too. I did a podcast like a when I first got to LA that was at the Comedy Store, and it was only like 1 minute long. And the nice thing is that at the time I happened to have 1 minute of jokes, so it went well. The crowd was cool. Afterwards, the veteran comic who was on the roster, like, he pulled me aside. He was like, "Hey, that was dope stuff. It's very funny. What you should do is just talk about your family more." Because I think at the time I was talking about just goofy. It was very Seinfeldish. Like, it was just goofy stuff. I was talking about clothes hangers and slow children at play signs, but just like, I was all over the place. He's like, "Hey, just talk about your family." Well, that was actually probably some of the best advice that I got, because after that, I scrapped all my old jokes, wrote stuff about my family, and it was already going cool, but it just started going like even cooler since then. That was like a dope bit of information that I got from him. What else is he talking about? He's talking about worst bomb. This was bad. This was real bad. This happened probably like a few months into comedy, right? So essentially, I started in Minneapolis and I did it there for a month, which was three or four mics or whatever it was. It was like one mic every Thursday. And then by the end of the month, I was like, I love this so much. I'm gonna need to do it more than every Thursday. So I just left for LA, right? So I'd seen people bomb a couple times, and the weird thing is that it hadn't happened to me. Like, everything just went exactly how I thought it was gonna go. Like, I went up there, did my jokes, people liked them. I was like, this is cool, bombing exists, not for me. And dude, the first time I just remember going up there. It was like, I think it was 5 minutes, and the first joke didn't do what I thought it was gonna do. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm gonna get it with a second. The second joke didn't do what I thought it was gonna do. I was like, this is a weird feeling, like I'm getting hot. And then the third joke did absolutely nothing. And I just, dude, the temperature in the room was like maybe 70 degrees, like waiting room temperature. Dude, my whole body was just on fire. I was visibly sweating. And it's like when you're falling backwards and you try to reach for something, like I was just grabbing, I'm looking around the room, and I made eye contact with one of the veteran comics, a dude that's been in the game forever. And he was just looking at me like, ooh, you did this to you. You got to get yourself out of this. I can't help you. And I ended up looking like still pacing around the room. I made eye contact with like my friend crew, like the people who I had started comedy with in LA. They just look disappointed. They're like, hey man, we respect you less. But go ahead and finish a little thing up there. It was so bad. Oh man, that was just the hottest I ever been in my life. I sweated out my socks. I sweated out my shoes. It was so bad, dude. I actually had the weird thing is I had an audio recording of it because I always record my sets to listen back later and see what works, see what doesn't work. I mean, that was an easy one. None of that worked. None of whatever I did up there worked. This was before the advice that I'd gotten from that other comic. So none of that stuff worked. What was dope though is the host, because I started bombing out the gate, but the host still let me do. This was at Shamrock. This was in it's like just north of San Diego, like in Murrieta, California. The host still let me do the full time, which was probably one of the other biggest learning opportunities I had. Because if I just would have started bombing and he would have let me leave immediately and just like take the heat off of myself, I don't think it would have hit the same way. Like it wouldn't be as rewarding as it was to feel that full heat for that full amount of time. And dude, I still have that audio clip and it haunts me to this day. Like I remember listening to it at night and I bombed so bad. I didn't do comedy for like a full probably 2 or 3 days after that. Like not at all. I just staring at a wall in the dark. I'm like, what is going? Just bitter as shit about that. Dude, I was just bitter as shit about everything. I'm like watching the old comedy movies that I used to like love. I'm like, man, that joke is hacky, man. They ain't doing nothing new. This is some bullshit. But it's like, it was all on me. Because I went in there with like a mentality of like I can never bomb. Like this, I'm just unfazable. It's like I deserved all of that silence. Oh my God. Then, it was on me too, because I had seen people bomb previously, and I just didn't even think to pay attention to like what their techniques were to get themselves out of it, like to have a little silver bullet in your pocket, like this, you know what I mean? Like all the little I deserve absolutely all of that shit. But the silver lining of the story, I ended up I didn't do comedy for like 2 or 3 days after that, and then a couple months later, I came back and did a competition, and I got the same competition, and ended up getting first place, and I got a cool little amount of money. I'm not gonna say how much because I didn't claim it on my taxes, but it was a lot of philosophies changed, and it was dope that it ended up. Well, the biggest thing I appreciate from that is he let me do that full 5 minute bomb, that full hot bomb, because that was a huge learning experience. I think that's gonna be all my time. I'm gonna go ahead and cut it off. Once again, you can find me on at Quentin Comedy, or on YouTube as Quentin Comedian, Quentin Alston Comedian.